Hi, friends. It's Vin Scully. It's time for
Dr. Clapper.
In sports, there's winning and losing and getting injured. That's why there's Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Clapper is the former head of orthopedic surgery at Cedars-Sinai.
The Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
Hey, Dr. Clapper.
How are you?
Saturday mornings from 7 to 9.
Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer.
Yes, Doc, I love your show.
Now, here he is, Dr. Robert Clapper.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. So nice to see you. Through the radio? Yeah, how could you see someone through the radio? Well, if you got Clapper Vision, you can see someone through the radio.
Hell yeah.
And I enjoy opening the clinic. The number is 877-710-ESPN. And I'll be able to see that injury of yours through the radio. So if it's your hip, your shoulder, your knee, your ankle, you name it, your spine, you'll call in and we'll go through it together. My guest at 8:15 is one of my close friends. I've known him for 35 years. We were interns together in 1983 at Cedars. And he's an ear, nose, and throat specialist, the great Dr. Andrew Berman. And he'll be calling in at 8:15 to talk about a sports injury of breaking your nose. That pyramid structure that sticks out from the front of your face that often gets hit in sporting activities and even in everyday life. The tip of your nose is made of cartilage, and it's anchored to the bone of your face. Usually the break occurs at the junction between that cartilage and the bone itself. Is it compressed? Is it angulated? Is it rotated? How it actually breaks will influence how it actually gets set. And we'll have the technical aspects, the anatomical aspects of that injury explained to us at 8:15 by Dr. Andrew Berman. But it made me think all week, this is a fascinating injury because it involves two people. As Vin Scully used to say, deuces wild. Two outs, two innings, two strikes, two balls. He used to call it deuces wild. This is an injury where you actually think about the injured person and the person who created the injury. In other injuries, we don't really focus on who did what to who. I don't know the defenders who tore Joe Burrow's ACL. I don't know the other players who tore the medial collateral ligament and posterior cruciate ligament in Andrew Whitworth of the Rams. I just know that Andrew Whitworth is injured and the Rams are in trouble because of it. But when you break your nose, there's a bond, there's a relationship between the injured one and the person who created the injury. And instead of anger, oftentimes a bond develops between the two people involved in the injury, which to me is fascinating. In sports, in 2012, Kobe Bryant's nose was broken by Dwayne Wade. The All-Star game, a meaningless game. But the passion that Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade share in the game of basketball meant that it was not a meaningless game. This injury led to a friendship and a bond that blew me away when I delved deeper into it. So let's go to this injury in sports. We'll get into this injury in the art world of Robin Williams breaking Robert De Niro's nose and making the movie Awakenings. But first, let's go back to the 2012 NBA All-Star Game with Marv Albert, Reggie Miller, talking about the very first time a flagrant foul was called in an All-Star Game. Let's go to number one.
Wow, hard foul on Bryant by Wade.
First flagrant foul.
Yeah, it's a glorified pickup game, but who says there's not hard fouls or this is actually a pretty good foul by Dwayne Wade, and he has yet to come on.
Looked like that was a pretty hard foul because Kobe has drawn blood.
Well, I was wondering which team was going to draw first blood. Is that too easy?
Yeah, way too easy.
Way too easy. Okay.
everybody critical of Reggie Miller. He's just fantastic. Let's listen to an interview Kevin Garnett had with Dwayne Wade about that injury in the 2012 All-Star Game. This is Dwayne Wade retelling, oh my God, I can't believe I broke his nose, but I also can't believe he told me he loved it. And how the bonds started to grow between the two because of the broken nose. Number six.
If anybody know Cove, Cove respects you if you a dog and you gonna go at him.
You go back at him.
And that's when Cove started to respect me, when he realized, like, I'm not backing down. And it's not that attention, it's just who I am. I mean, me and Cove, we got into a little tussle in the All-Star game a little bit, and I ended up hitting him the wrong way and he broke his nose.
That was the first time I've ever seen that.
And number seven.
So I'm gonna say the thing. So after All-Star break, we got the Lakers about like three games after
yes,
the break.
Yes, he got the mask on.
He got the mask on. But you know what? I call him, you know, didn't maliciously do it. I call him and I say, yo, Cole. He was like, bro, I love it. I'm like, you what? He's like, I love it. I see him in a couple days. I'm like, oh, this oh, snap. And he gave it to me too, boy.
He gave it to me. 3 days later, the Lakers played the Heat, and he's wearing a mask. And Kobe Bryant destroyed Dwayne Wade, LeBron James of the Miami Heat. But now let's listen to Kobe's take on Dwayne Wade, that he learned about him because he broke his nose, about the passion that he plays with. This is 4 years later. Kobe's given an interview, believe it or not, in Italian. When all of a sudden, Dwayne Wade interrupts the interview. And Kobe Bryant stops and says, I love that guy because of the passion he plays with, because of the type of player he is. Number two.
Y hablar con sus compañeros en tiempo va a ganar los trust. Dude, no. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Gotta go.
I'm with you. Right. I'm with you.
We got some business
to
talk about.
Hey, by the way, he knows he's going to be the oldest guy in the league next year.
I just love hearing Kobe laugh. It makes me sad, but it makes me smile. Because he inspired all of us. Let's hear the respect that he got for Dwayne Wade, because Dwayne Wade broke his nose. Number three.
I love him, man, because he was a vicious competitor. He's vicious, you know. He's mean, and we could have those type of battles, and then afterwards hang out and have a conversation, and lace him up and go right back at it. So you know, I enjoy competing against him. The hardest player I've ever had to guard on the screen roll. He'd come off the screen and just disappear.
Who watched that beautiful relationship blossom because of the broken nose? Zaire, the son of Dwayne Wade, was the beneficiary of that beautiful relationship that blossomed off the court. So when Kobe knew the Miami Heat were coming to town, he wanted to see Dwayne Wade's son and hug him. And he did in front of all of us. This is just such a beautiful moment. Let's listen to the day on the court Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, and Zaire Wade met in front of us. Number four.
As Dwayne Wade and his son with a few moments, Zaire and Dwayne, a few precious moments with future Hall of Famer Kobe Bryant.
Well, it's a cool moment. You know, I had an opportunity to, kind of speak to Kobe last night. And he asked me, was the boys coming to the game? I was like, nah, school night. You know, so that hinted to me that he wanted to see him. So I was able to bring him and have a cool moment. You know, I know what that would have meant for me as a kid to be able to, you know, sit there and talk on the NBA court to one of my basketball heroes.
Number five.
So being able to do that as a parent is a cool thing.
Well, two of the game's greatest players and greatest competitors, with much respect and some friendship shared. That's a special post-game moment for Dwayne and Zaire and Kobe.
How cool is that?
In the world of art, where did a bond like that take place? Between the breakee and the breaker and a broken nose. In the movie Awakenings, 1991, Penny Marshall read a book about a psychiatrist, true story, who used the drug L-DOPA that we use in patients with Parkinson's disease in an experimental new way on patients with encephalitis. Pretty much people who are comatose for decades, but they can still breathe and eat, but they're essentially locked in their own bodies. This doctor, Oliver Sacks, psychiatrist, gave these patients a drug for a different disease. And guess what? They woke up after decades of being like stone sculptures. Penny Marshall was so moved by reading this book, she made a movie. And she said, I'm going to get the Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade of the art world to play the doctor and the patient. I'm going to get Robin Williams, the comedian, to play the doctor in a dramatic role, and Robert De Niro to play the patient. And in making that movie, Robin Williams broke Robert De Niro's nose. But the relationship and the bond the two of them developed was just like Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant. Let's listen to number one.
I mean, in the making of that movie, I broke his nose by accident. We had this struggle when I was supposed to be restraining him when he's having a seizure, and my elbow went bam, and it made a noise like a chicken bone breaking. And all of a sudden, the entire crew went, I gotta go now. Really? You broke his nose. And he got up, went, I'm okay. And then later on, I guess his surgeon said, I actually put it back in place from Raging Bull. So, I got a service now I'll do for if you need it.
And when Robert De Niro is now honored by the American Film Institute, who does he ask to induct him? Robin Williams. But when you break the nose of an actor, you can affect his career in the way he or she makes a living. It's not like breaking your nose as an athlete. Maybe your breathing can get affected. But just listen to the opening of this ceremony. How Robin Williams, in a funny way, points out appearances, what actors look like. He's making fun of De Niro. He's making fun of Martin Scorsese, because appearance really makes a difference. And once he does that and you really realize how important looks are, he then tells the crowd, I did something none of you who've ever worked with De Niro ever did. I broke his nose. Let's go to number two.
Yo, what's up, B? First of all, Bob, I want to congratulate you on the new look, the Saddam Hussein mission thing you've got going on. That's really looking good, man. I tell you, it will work. Hello, hello, very good. They have not taken the airport. It is still open. Okay. Also, Marty, nice going. Don't put on the glasses. Now, let's see the caterpillars. Bring them out. Don't they look like two caterpillars trying to mate? Like, come on, we can do this.
It's all about appearance to the world of acting. Number three.
Come on, do this. Don't be afraid. Come on, move on, move on. Also, many people don't know it, but one of Marty's eyebrows were used to make the mohawk. Look at his eyebrow and tell me that's not that same mohawk. It's also being used as a stunt Birkin by Madonna right now. Thank you. I'll never be able to go to their house. Now.
Now he talks about working with De Niro in this movie, Awakenings. Number four.
I'm here tonight to talk briefly about a movie called Awakenings, or as it's known in Florida, Wake Up! I had the opportunity of working with Robert De Niro, a very interesting thing, and among all these people here tonight, you've done a lot of movies with him, but none of you bastards broke his nose. I broke his nose. Yeah, Mr. Method Prick. Bam! Hey, you method bastard, there you go! Yeah, I'm a comic, you piece of shit. You want to do another 10 takes, motherfucker?
But listen to now Robin Williams tell us again that he broke the nose. Sound like a chicken bone cracking. But then you're going to hear Robert De Niro say, he actually did me a favor. I broke it as a kid. It never healed right. When he broke it, It set it into place. He did a good thing to me. Are you kidding me? That's incredible. Number five.
Tell me about working with De Niro. Did you really break his nose?
Yeah, it was an accident. They implied in the paper that I did it out of anger. But yeah, I'm right. I'm going to smell your bob. You didn't look at me. Yeah, right. I'd be going, you know, for me as an actor, working with Bob.
My nose was broken before when I was a kid. So what happened was we were doing this argument scene and just some freak accident. We choreographed it and so on. His elbow hit me in the nose and actually straightened it out.
It actually straightened it out. It's a beautiful thing, this injury. It bonds the two together forever. In the case of Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade built a friendship that will carry on through their kids. Robin Williams is gone now, but it was Robert De Niro blessing him in that movie. You actually can act. You can go beyond the stand-up comedy. You're a dramatic actor. And not be bitter about breaking his nose. It's an awesome injury. It's a special injury. And we're going to learn more about it coming up next when we talk to an expert in ear, nose, and throat, and certainly in the world of breaking your nose, the great Dr. Andrew Berman. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Get smart.
Just what are you getting at?
Check out the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
Like this.
Medical advice from Cedars-Sinai, head of orthopedic surgery.
Are you kidding?
With a Far Rockaway attitude and a little drizzle of mozzarella.
Well, it's important to me.
Search Weekend Warrior in the space bar.
Like this.
And click on Doc's picture.
I see.
Like, follow, and enjoy the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
This is Keyshawn in the Morning. My man, Dr. Clapper, and the Weekend Warrior Show starts your Saturday morning. Join the doc from 7 to 9 a.m.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Get the coconut telephone.
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm the Kobe Bryant of teeth brushing.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. That's Weezer with Dope Nose. Leave it to the great Steve Paulette. I have no idea what that means, but it has the word nose in it, so we're going to use it. We're having technical issues with getting Dr. Berman on, so let's open the clinic. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Who's next? Who do you want to do? Let's do Eileen. Eileen, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Clapper.
Hi, Eileen. How are you? So Jean Crawford says every female listener is listening on the weekends to the Weekend Warrior Show and not listening during the week. Is that true?
I listen to you as many Saturdays as I can.
Oh.
I love your show. I met you at a book signing at Linda Huey's place. and I came to see you once for a hinky hip.
Oh, and, that's fantastic.
I'm a big fan.
What's your
Thank
favorite
you
story?
For being there.
What's your
Ooh,
favorite story?
I was hoping you'd ask me that. It's the one where there was a doctor that you would see and then you would try to get, you know, a communication going and it was very standoffish, but then he told you a story about him rescuing a dog.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was Saul Bernstein.
Yes.
Saul Bernstein. Oh, my God. He's since passed away, but that was
story.
A beautiful moment. Remember that story where he finally, after months, changing his clothes next to me in the locker room. You know, it's the only profession where you get to see your colleagues in their underwear. And it kind of, you know, takes all the defense mechanisms off. But he still was tough. He didn't want to even say hello to me. But after weeks and weeks and months of me changing clothes before I'd go to the operating room and he'd go do these big scoliosis cases in children. He was a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. One day he said good morning to me. It was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he noticed I'm even here. And then the next time he said, what kind of surgery are you doing today, Robbie? I said, oh, I'm going to be doing 6 hip and knee replacements today. And I said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to go do this. And we started to talk. And that led to a beautiful, I look forward to seeing him in the morning, changing my clothes. And then one day he had the biggest smile on his face. And he was kind of a grumpy guy. And I said, you seem so happy today, Saul. Why are you so happy? And he said, because I got a new dog. Really? You got a, yup. That dog is vicious to everybody. Kind of like what he was like. He says, but I know he's waiting for me all day long. My wife says he just sits at the end of the driveway with his nose, his snout sticking through the gate. And he waits all day for me to go to come home. I said, really? He goes, yep, because I rescued that dog. And that dog knows I rescued him. I said, really? He goes, yep. We're an empty nest house. I told my wife, I want to go rescue a dog. So we went to the dog rescue place. And I said to them, where's the dog that you're going to put down tomorrow? Where's the dog that nobody wants and you can't seem to find a home for? And they said, he's right over there. He's actually going to be put to sleep tomorrow. We've had him for 6 months. We can't keep him any longer. He's the guy. He said, that's the dog I want. He said, and Robbie, I named that dog Lucky. That's his name. He's 7 years old. He's a German Shepherd crossbreed with something else. A mangy looking dog when I got him. But now he's my closest friend. And it's amazing. When Saul Bernstein died, I saw his son, Matt. And I said, I'm so sorry to hear about your dad passing away. He said, thank you, Robbie. Thank you. I said, my condolences. But can I ask you one question? He says, yes. Because he doesn't know that I had this conversation with his father. I said, what happened to Lucky? And his son, who's an orthopedic surgeon also, he starts to laugh. He says, how do you know about Lucky? I said, your dad told me all about that dog. He said, my mom's taking care of him now. He's doing just fine. In fact, she won't even move from the house. She's in there, the house all by herself because she's afraid to change the world for the dog Lucky. She doesn't want anything for him to feel is any different. And it was an amazing story. Wow. So, yes, thanks for reminding me about that. He was a beautiful man, Saul Bernstein. All right, how can I help you, Eileen? What'd you do to yourself?
Well, in my left elbow, there seems to be a little teeny tiny cyst or a nodule or like a pebble that if I move a certain way or if I rub up against it, it's like somebody took a nerve and is just pinching on it.
So you can feel it right underneath the skin, or are you saying you feel it inside the joint?
I feel it under the skin.
Oh, okay, good.
And that it moves be, around, so, you know.
Yeah, that could be a calcium deposit, either in the bursa or something that's actually in the skin itself. You can get what's known as a neuroma. That's an easy one. That's something that we can help you with. It should start first with getting an MRI of your elbow just to see what's going on in and outside of the joint. Don't let anybody inject any cortisone.
No.
You know, be holistic about it. But getting it looked at with an x-ray and then an MRI and an exam would be your first next step. I'm happy to help. But what I would say is, since it's in the skin itself, do me a favor. The person I'd love you to see first to see what's up, he's an upper extremity hand surgeon. And his name is David Culber. He's at Cedars, K-U-L-B-E-R. Call his office. You tell him Dr. Clapper from the Weekend Warrior Show sent you. And he'll get the ball rolling. If he feels it's something deeper in the joint, then you'll come and see me. But if it's just in the skin itself, he's a terrific plastic surgeon and upper extremity surgeon. He'd be the perfect guy to remove the nodule that you have if it's really bothering you. Okay?
That would be awesome because the pain, like, lasts for literally, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's got to be. I bet you it's a neuroma. I bet you it's a neuroma, and he'd be the perfect guy to get rid of it and keep it from coming back again. David Culber. If he says it's orthopedics and it's from the bone or the joint, then by all means, you'll come and see me. But let's do that as the first step. David Kober, K-U-L-B-E-R. He's at Cedars.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Lynn. Do me a favor. You're a total stranger to me, even though you're not a total stranger. Today, go find someone who's a total stranger to you. Do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay, young lady. I'll tell some stories about, you know, we just had Thanksgiving. My wife made an unbelievable meal, but it reminded me as a kid of making a meal. And one day I remember my grandmother, she used to make, and you know, we all have grandparents, they all come from the old country, and they had recipes that they never wrote down. My grandmother made the best potato knishes. And I decided, I know she's not going to be around forever. I would love, I must have been, I don't know, 12 years old. I said to her, I want to know how you make these potato knishes. So I'm coming to your house. She was so excited I'm coming to visit her because I want to watch you make potato knishes. She says, okay. And there I am, Mr. Studious, Mr. Learning Recipes. I brought a piece of paper, you know, a legal pad, a pencil. And I'm going to write down everything she does, and I'm going to keep this recipe in the family that comes all the way out of Europe, out of Vienna, wherever she came from, and I'm going to be able to make it for the rest of my life with her. So I come studious with the legal pad and the pencil, and I'm now in my grandmother's kitchen, and I'm going to learn how to make her world-famous potato knishes. I said, okay, Grandma, I'm ready. She says, okay. I said, by the way, have you written anything down? Is there a recipe? No, it's all in my head. Okay, great. I guess this is the way it's going to be. This is how you do it. So I take my pencil. I'm ready to write down the beginnings of the recipe to make her world-famous potato knishes. I said, okay, Grandma, what do we start with? She says, we're going to start with potatoes. I said, okay, how many pounds? How many grams? How much is enough potatoes? She looked at me, she said, well, there really is no recipe. I start with a big potato and a little potato. As I started to write, big potato, little potato, which means absolutely nothing. You have no idea what it's like, the person with the MRI, that there's a small herniation of the disc. What exactly does that mean? You need to know the number. I realized this was going to be a disaster because basically nothing could be written down. So that recipe for potato knishes has come and gone in the Clapper household. All right, coming up next, I'll take more calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. And I also want to talk about the greatest strawberry milkshake you could ever have in Los Angeles that I had last week, driving back after surfing Monday night. Oh my, by the way, I had it with a cheeseburger as well. And I'll tell you where that place is. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Weekend Warriors on Facebook.
Didn't you get the memo?
Quickly hear Clapper's crazy kitchen stories. Easily find different callers' aches and pain issues.
All right, I get it.
Search Weekend Warrior in the search bar and click on Doc's picture.
Who are you again?
Voila! Like, follow, and enjoy the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
You're listening to the Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedar Sinai.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
The Waffle Gatto.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Crossed. Leonard Cohn. Everybody, it's not N-O-S-E, but K-N-O-W-S. But it sounds like nose, and Steve Paletta is on top of it. I love it. Well, thank God I'm joined now by one of my closest friends. I've known him for 35-plus years. He's very special to me. He made my bachelor party, amongst many other things in my life. The great Dr. Andrew Berman. ENT specialist, broken nose expert. Andy, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for getting through the technical difficulties.
No worries. It's a pleasure to be here, Robbie, and what a great way to start off with Kobe and Leonard Cohen.
Love it. So I found, of all the injuries that I've ever talked about in these 10 years on the radio, this to me, Andy, is the most fascinating, because it absolutely binds the breaker and the breakee. And very often, a bond occurs that is a positive bond, because it's a different location. You hurt your knee, who cares who hurt your knee? They don't get to be intimate with you. This is your face. This is your personality. This is who you are to the world. So it's one of the most important structures that can get injured. So teach us, Dr. Berman, the bone, the cartilage. Take us through the anatomy of the nose.
Okay, so let's first talk about a little bit what the nose does, because the anatomy affects that. So okay. The nose humidifies air as you breathe it in, and then it takes it through the back of your nose, past the back of your mouth, into your lungs, so it's easier on your lungs. Two, it allows you to have the sense of smell. All these things are really important. In addition, as I hear every day in my office, if the inside of your nose is messed up, you're probably going to snore a lot, and that's going to be an issue. And somebody's not going to like that. So it affects your life in many ways. So I divide the nose up into three parts. I divide it up into a cosmetic part, the way your nose looks, a structural part, the inside of your nose, known as the septum and turbinates. We'll get to that in a minute. And then physiologic, how you react to the environment, allergies, reactions to a caustic smell like gasoline. So structurally on the inside, your septum, which is the middle of your nose, is cartilage and bone. And on the walls inside your nose, you have three turbinates, superior, middle, and inferior, and they're cartilage and soft tissue. The soft tissue will enlarge if you're exposed to something that irritates it. An allergy, an irritant, like a caustic chemical, and you can't breathe, you can't smell. On the outside of your nose, you have a nasal bone up top, you have a lower lateral cartilage in the middle, so sort of think of those like shingles on the hip of a roof, where a roof comes up to a point. And then the lower part is like two horseshoes called the lower lateral cartilage, and they start from the middle of your nose and go around to the tip and then come around to the side. That's called the lower lateral cartilage. So as an example, when Dwayne Wade broke Kobe's nose, he whacked him probably with an elbow and knocked over the nasal bone. But inside, the septum also got moved over, so it sort of tilts. So if you get hit on the left side of the nose, the upper part of your nose and septum will move to your right, but the lower part will move to your left. So you actually can have obstruction on both sides, but mainly the left. Sometimes if they hit lower, it'll move the whole septum over to your right if you've been hit on the left. So these are all things we need to consider when somebody has an accident or broken nose. And you're right. People remember who broke their nose. They don't remember who hurt their knee.
So you use the word horseshoe, which people may not necessarily grasp. But how about this? An airline pillow. Everybody understands. Here's a Clapper vision. The airline pillow, that U-shaped foamy thing that protects your neck when you sleep on an airplane. In essence, you have an airline pillow coming out the front of your face. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you have two of those, one on the right and one on the left. And the middle part of that, because it fits around your neck, the airline pillow,
right,
is called the columella, or the center of your nose.
So when a fracture occurs, Dr. Berman, can it be a crush straight on? Or is it angulated from the side? Is that two different ways, or are they all pretty much the same?
No, you're correct. It is two different ways. It's most often from the side. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's from the front. It's actually more dangerous from directly straight on like a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can knock them out and lead to other rare but serious problems. Because your nose actually sits just under your brain. And it goes back a couple inches. So if somebody hits you straight in the nose, it can push your nose back into a little part of your brain called the cribriform plate, which is where your sense of smell comes from. And that's when you know you have a really serious injury.
When you take us through what it's like to set someone's nose, it's not like a CAT scan or an MRI or an X-ray even can help. Is it just you with those beautiful fingers of yours and that touch and that sense of symmetry that you literally can feel it off and you set it with your fingers and it feels right? Is that what occurs?
That's usually what happens if it's an acute injury. So all of us take a little time to heal. So if it's within the first 10 days of an injury, you actually can do something called a closed reduction, which works about half the time. And I'll give you a personal example. I was in Rustic Canyon playing basketball. This was about 20 years ago with a bunch of guys I played with every Sunday. I was the small power forward, which meant I ran into a lot of elbows. And one day...
You should have developed your three-point shot like Michael Jordan did.
Yeah, I wasn't good at that. So my nose was literally to the right side of my face. And I remember who did it, a guy named Paul Cummings. He actually started Crossroads.
Okay, and we hate him.
Yeah. He's actually a really good guy.
That's what happens, Andy. That's exactly what happens. The person who has their nose broken ends up saying he's actually a really good guy. I love this.
Yeah, exactly. So my nose is off to the side, and everybody, and I said, "Hey guys, I got to step out." And they go, "Yeah, you really do." I pull the tip of my nose down, which releases the pressure on the bone pushing up because it had been displaced, and I pushed it with my finger, with my thumb, on my other hand, and you could hear it snap back into place. And I said, I'm ready to come back in.
Wow.
And the reason was when the nose is displaced, it's putting pressure on the local nerves. That causes pain. Same in other orthopedic injuries. But if you can put it back in its normal position, there's no longer pressure on the nerve. So you release it.
Interesting.
So I looked at these guys and said, I'm ready to come back in. And they looked at me and said, are you nuts? They said, what do you think I do every day? And I go,
Listen, I don't want to stop this interview without really forget about our relationship. And the listeners know how important my dad, the carpenter, was in my life, believe it or not, becoming an orthopedic surgeon. But one of the things that I enjoy most about knowing you for all these years is how important your relationship with your dad was. And when I ask people, why did you choose this road in your life? It's really easy for you because of how much you admired and appreciated your dad and to follow in his footsteps. So tell us a little bit about how much your dad meant to you deciding to go this path of all the things you could do as a doctor to choose to be in the field of plastic surgery and ear, nose, and throat. Tell us about your dad, Wally Berman.
Okay, well, my dad was a great guy. He was a huge supporter of me more than anybody in the world, my best friend for years. I was fortunate enough to work with him for 15 years.
Wow.
Before he retired.
Wow.
He, much like me, was a very creative guy, always looking for how to solve problems. And that's where I learned it from. And he was a role model. And that is important. I think that's important to all of us, whether it's our parent or somebody else in our life. We all have people that help us figure out things and set a standard.
Yep.
And do it themselves. Mm. And I literally grew up with the American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, which is the largest group of certified plastic surgeons in the world. Because it started on my kitchen table when I was 10 with the five doctors who started it. And so I grew up with people, famous plastic surgeons from all over the world at the dinner table debating how to do a nose, how to do a facelift. I mean, it's not the normal thing for most kids.
Yeah, it's in your blood. It's in your DNA. It's just awesome. And, you know, we're all proud of you, Andrew Berman, and I'm particularly proud of you, but I know your dad is extremely proud of what you've been able to do and what you've become. And it's all these years later, since 1983, I've known you. And let me tell you, if I ever break my nose, I don't know if it can get any bigger than it already is, but I know who the person to go to if that's involved. How do people get a hold of you, Dr. Berman? Is there a website? Tell us how they can track you down.
I'm actually pretty low key. They can call my office, 310-278-3223, or look me up, Andrew Berman, MD in Beverly Hills.
Do you have a website?
Pardon me?
Do you have a website, Andy?
I do, but it's not very extensive. As I said, I'm not an advertiser, drberman at drbermanmd.com.
Okay. You're the greatest, Andrew Berman. Thanks for teaching us about why Kobe Bryant ended up beloving Dwayne Wade and why Robin Williams and Robert De Niro had a beautiful relationship from a tragic injury. There's something special about when you break your nose, including Mr. Crossroads, who broke your nose. Thanks so much, Andy, for getting up early to be with us. We really appreciate it. All right. Have a good day. That's the great Dr. Andrew Berman. Nobody knows more about how the nose knows than he does. All right, coming up next, I'll take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN, and I will reveal where the best strawberry milkshake in L.A. is. Coming up next on the Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed.
Holy emoji, clap man. Weekend Warriors on Facebook.
Holy slip disc.
That's right, Robin. Hear listeners talk about their aches and pains.
Holy hamstrings.
Along with Doc's clapper vision.
Breathe deeply.
And advice to callers.
On your toes, Robin.
So like, follow, and enjoy.
A wise decision.
The Weekend Warrior Facebook page.
Frankly, I can think of nothing more stimulating.
You're listening to The Weekend Warrior Show, presented by Cedars-Sinai.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Start your weekend off right, listening to The Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Google the Guggenheim.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
You know the way to San Jose. I've been away so long. I may go wrong and lose my way.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Do you know the way to San Jose? That's a reach, Dee Paulette, but we love it anyway. The great Dionne Warwick singing a Burt Bacharach song. Beautiful. Hal David. I don't want to shut it off. She sounds so beautiful. All right, let's take a call. Let's go to Jerry in Beverly Hills. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Oh, hello. I fractured the third vertebrae from a fall on the bus last year, and I was hoping for a 99% healing, but maybe healed 50%. I use a walker, and it incurred an intruding curvature of the spine.
How young are you, Jerry?
Huh?
How young are you?
I'm 78 years old.
What did you do for a living?
I'm in all areas of writing, research, and show business. Yeah, but my music video is on YouTube. Punch in Jerry Solomon, Earth Angel on YouTube.
Did you write the song Earth Angel?
No, but I'm singing to pretty girls on the video. You can punch it in there.
Where did you grow up, Jerry?
I lived in Boyle Heights till I was 4 years old, and I various parts of L.A. And
what did your father do for a living?
My father?
Yeah.
Oh, he was an optometrist in Long Beach.
Optometrist. So how come you didn't become an optometrist?
I guess it just wasn't my area.
Is it because you were too busy trying to sing Earth Angel to pretty girls and you
Earth
couldn't go
Angel,
sit down and read a book?
Earth Angel, will you be mine? Yeah, so I'm doing the best I can.
Uh-huh.
And
so when you say L3, is that your lower back or is that your mid back or your neck?
Back. Compression fracture of the lower back, the third vertebrae. You mentioned Dr. L. Hunt. He's my doctor.
Good. He's fantastic.
But, so it's not bad enough to need a surgery, he told me, but it affects my walking. I walk with a walker. I'm able to walk a little bit without the walker. It caused me to have curvature of the spine, the protruding
yes.
curvature of the spine. So I was hoping for a 99% recovery. I may be recovered 50%, so can I read?
So I can teach you a little bit. You listen to the show, you know what Clapper Vision is?
What, Clapper what?
Do you know what Clapper Vision is? You want me to teach you a little bit about your spine?
Yeah, pretty sure, of course.
So the actual vertebral body that you're talking about literally looks like a marshmallow, right? It's a cube. It's a marshmallow cube of bone. That's the L3 vertebral body. When you take your fingers and you squeeze a marshmallow, if you squeeze it just a little bit, that's called a compression fracture. It's a unique type of fracture to a bone that's shaped like a marshmallow. The key is if you squeeze it as you fracture it, less than 50%, less than half of the marshmallow collapses, then we refer to that as a stable compression fracture, and it does not need surgery, and it will go on to heal. But if the fracture squeezes the marshmallow more than half, more than 50%, then it's unstable, and it causes pain, and it causes the curvature you're talking about. The key in your case at 78 years old is what do the other bones around L3 look like? If they're filled with arthritis, with bone spurs and loss of the disc, then doing surgery is not such a good idea. The greatest thing, Jerry, from Beverly Hills that you can do to help yourself get off the walker and get strong again is to walk in a swimming pool. Not swim as much as walking. Belly button high water, walking forwards, backwards, 3 days a week, half an hour. The woman I write books with, Linda Huey, has an indoor heated pool. Medicare will pay for it. I'd love you to go there, and they have COVID precautions, so you're safe. It's in Culver City. It's called Complete PT. This is where Dr. Hunt needs to send you so that you can get better proactively, making the muscles strong around your spine. Do not let anyone talk you into cortisone shots, epidurals, or any cockamamie injections. Get yourself in the pool. That'll get you stronger, Jerry, so that you can once again sing Earth Angel to the pretty girls on the street. All right?
Thank you.
God bless you, Jerry. Thanks so much for checking in with us. All right, Warriors, let's talk a little bit in a few minutes I have left about next week. We are dealing with this pandemic. It's exciting to hear about a vaccine that's coming, particularly as this surge is really taking place. I see it in my own life. I see it in my own hospital. And it's certainly here and potentially going to get bigger. We need to know, from a Weekend Warrior standpoint, we need Clapper Vision. What exactly is a vaccine? What is the truth? Next Saturday, our guest on the show is going to be Dr. Michael Benderet, an expert at Cedars in vaccines, in COVID-19. And he's going to bring us up to date of what's going on. The idea of a vaccine in sports, in art, really excites me. So I've already started to think about Jonas Salk, Tex Winters, the triangle defense. To some extent, the way the vaccine works, the way antibodies work, is a lot like Tex Winter thinking, although there's five players on the court, three of them make a triangle, and the triangle can rotate, still a triangle, but different sides of it present itself to the offense, to the defense. This whole idea of the triangle offense is a lot to me in the preliminary thinking that I have of a vaccine. Sounds crazy, but you know, the crazier it is, the better it's going to be. And to reveal where the best strawberry milkshake is that I've had in Los Angeles, oh my God, I literally had to take the top off of the cup because the straw didn't work. That's how thick it was. It's from Shake Shack, and they have one in Thousand Oaks. I enjoyed every slurp of that strawberry milkshake. Until next week, I'll see you on the radio.
Miss an interview or Doc's weekly story? Check it out on the Weekend Warrior Facebook page. Also, Doc's advice to callers on their aches and pains. Just type Weekend Warrior in the Facebook search bar and you'll see Doc's picture in the listings. And thanks for checking out the Weekend Warrior Facebook page.